See everyone this morning. Thank you for being here. Appreciate your faithfulness. Let's go ahead and we'll start with any praise or prayer requests that you might have. So who would like to be first? Yes. Remember Brody and her back. Who else? Oh, sorry. Sorry, then. You know, you're looking. It's kind of the forest for the trees thing, you know. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry. So did she blow it? I mean, she. Oh, okay, good. Okay. Well, it's good that she didn't completely tear it, because that is. Yeah. Yes, she'll get preferred boarding. There you go. Yeah, there you go. Good point. Well, were you both the same thing? Okay. Someone else? Yes. Maybe you're going to tell me she was going to be here this morning. We got Roundup coming, Sunday coming up. Yes? Yeah, I do. Carrie said Ed Ramsey. I know. Some of you from the Uniontown area would know him. So, young Ed Ramsey, I think he was, what, 60? Had pancreatic cancer. Remember that from here. Yes, Jenny? Yes, we will. Yeah, I'm going to be taking a trip, so pray for us that we make all our destinations, and we come back as friends. So, yeah. I mean, you know, we might as well throw it out there. Someone else? Let's see. Continue to remember the Davises. Got a text from him. You probably all did, as I did. Got a text from him that he was praising the Lord for, I think, 262 souls. So, at the Nebraska fair. Still has vehicle needs. So, oh, yes. And Kathy fell. So, remember her. Yes, Dale, sorry. Amen. Praise the Lord. So what that means is that they can move forward with the other surgery, right?
They didn't have any kind of
day or anything like that. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, praise the Lord for that. The stress test going well. And Anyone else? Also, thank you. Not bad. So like a 740, like a 747? Yeah. I don't even know if 747 exists anymore. It used to be. Okay. You know, the more prayer requests you mention, the less you have to listen to me, so don't forget that. All right. Well, if there's nothing else, we'll go ahead and get started. Of course, as you know, this is managing God's money. All of this information comes from a book that was for Randy Alcorn, wrote the book. And so we've talked about ownership and stewardship. And we kind of delved into materialism, the dangers of materialism last week. We talked about that and the opposite end of the spectrum, which is a word that I told you last week I wasn't familiar with before this study, was asceticism. And I think one of the more important things of stewardship, of course, we know and understand, we don't maybe always, speaking for myself, I guess, we maybe don't always live in light of that, that with the understanding that, I mean, I guess I would say for myself that my lip service is that I understand that God, all of it comes from God, and God owns it all. But do my actions always, do my actions always belie that? So, but we have that, we understand that, we have that knowledge, and then I think, you know, stewardship as a servant, one of the more important factors is, and it delves into other areas of Christianity, not just in the area of finances and possessions, but that a steward be found what? Faithful. So, and we talked about, you know, some of the attributes of the steward and attributes of the owner. And so this week we're going to continue on and we're up to chapter 6. We'll hopefully get through 6, 7, and 8 this morning. But the title of this chapter is Materialism, and I talked about it. We'll look at the 10 fatal dangers of materialism. And number one is that materialism hinders or destroys our spiritual lives. And so have several verses that I've given out that I would like to have you read. So the first one is Revelation 3:17. Okay, so of course that's Revelation, so it's the end of the book, but that verse tells us that materialism blinds us to our spiritual poverty, and it's fruitless to attempt to find meaning outside of God. which we talked about last week, is the source and the giver, the source of all life and the giver of good food, of good gifts, excuse me. And then the next fatal danger is that materialism is a broken cistern that cannot hold water. And I need whoever has Jeremiah 2, 11 through 13, if they'd read that verse, those verses for me, please. So they've forsaken, so materialism or even though God's people forsake the fountain. I like how the scripture says that. They forsook the fountain of living water for a cistern that was for cisterns that were broken. And based on that, the Christ-centered life is not only the right, it's smart. And Alcorn makes a statement that it sometimes pays off in the short run, but it always pays off in the long run. And obviously we're gonna be blessed in this life, most likely, but we're definitely gonna be blessed in the heavenly kingdom. So Christ-centered life is not only right, it's smart. Materialism blinds us to the curses of wealth. And I don't know, maybe we'll just go ahead and have those verses read. Numbers 11, 18 through 20, it talks about the Israelites and about what they thought, how they felt, excuse me. Go ahead. Okay, so the Israelites weren't satisfied with just the manna that God was providing them. They had meat back in Egypt. We wanted meat, so God said, okay, I'll give you meat. Numbers 11, verses 18 through 20. He said, I'll give you meat. So, they weren't satisfied, so they demanded meat, and God sent them meat in abundance, so much that it became a curse rather than a blessing. And we have to be cautious. You know, irony is when a poor and humble person is rewarded with prosperity. And I don't say always, not always, but often, gradually turning away from the Lord. And we have to be careful. And if we're not careful, we'll become proud and rich, prideful. Did I give anybody Ezekiel 28, 4 and 5? Okay, go ahead. So right there, the scripture tells us that the Israelites, God's people, they became rich and their heart was lifted up. And we may say, as we think about America, some may wonder why God still blesses, with wealth once many once godly Western nations. And I hadn't really thought about this. Maybe some of you had, but maybe it's not necessarily a blessing that we've been materially blessed. Maybe on the other hand, on the other side of it, it's perhaps a curse rather than a blessing. And you know, I mean, we've been going through James on Wednesday nights, and of course, you know, James talks about the trials of our faith and how we know. And I bet everybody in there, or most everybody in this room, can think of a time when they went through a trial or went through a struggle, maybe not monetarily, maybe something else, maybe a health issue, maybe some type of a relationship issue. And it was a really hard trial of their faith. I mean, I can say that. I don't have anything specifically in mind, but when you come out on the other side of that trial, you say, well, the Lord really showed me something through that hardship. You know, and it's the same things that with, you know, money struggles. I can't speak for any of you, but I imagine all of us early in our, most of you in here that are married, I know some of you aren't, but probably early in your marriages, there probably were some financial struggles. And maybe you kind of wondered where the next, how you were going to make ends meet. And but you know, God was faithful through that. I can think of instances where Roanne and I saw, you know, God's faithfulness. So I think it was when Christopher was born. I don't know how all of you that worked at Western, but if those of you that did, you know, I didn't make much money when I was working at Western. So, and it was pretty tough. And so we had some bills that were due after Chris was born, and I can't remember something. I think we got a refund from the hospital on the hospital bill, but it was money that we needed. It was money we needed at that point to pay for other obligations. And so, but it, you know, God's timing was, it was such as the, it was like we knew that it had to be. It was of God, so it was a good character builder. So so, you know, the challenge is for us as believers is to handle wealth so it is a blessing and not a curse. And I kind of relating back to the maybe possibly blessing, you know, America or other Western nations, it is a curse as opposed to a blessing. Is it? John Steinbeck wrote to Adlai Stevenson back in 1960. So some of you young people, you wouldn't know about this, but he said, "If I wanted to destroy a nation, I would give it too much, and it would be on its knees, miserable, greedy, and sick." And there's a lot of truth in that statement. So, all right, moving on. Number four, materialism brings unhappiness and anxiety. The bait of chasing wealth hides the hook of addiction and slavery. And I didn't give this verse to anybody, but Proverbs 22:7, I'm quoting it from memory, so if I get it wrong, don't throw stones, okay? But I think it says, "The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is a servant to the lender," which, you know, and not only does, but you know, a lot of times, and somebody that's chasing material or chasing wealth, they chase wealth, they chase possessions and that stuff so hard that they're willing to go into debt to get it. And And it becomes, you know, it becomes a crutch, a bad. I mean, I have a friend right now who, they live in the city, and so they're around, you know, they're around a lot of wealthy people in the city, and they're overextended. They're close to my age, you know, maybe 10 years younger, but their finances are just a wreck because, you know, they just spent frivolously and wanted to be like everyone around them, and they have good jobs. That's the thing, you know, they both have really good jobs, but they're addicted to, I guess, for lack of a better word, they're addicted to spending and having, you know, having things, and it's been a curse to them. Let's see. When we store up treasures on earth rather than in heaven, not only because of we store up treasures on earth rather than in heaven, not only because of greed and selfishness, but also because of fear and insecurity. And, you know, I guess I thought of that. I think of that as us as being more in our senior years, you know, and a lot of times what seniors, when you talk to somebody, they worry about, am I going to have enough to make it to the end? And, you know, and I think some of that's just, you know, fear and insecurity. So we need to be careful of that. You know, you've heard the old saying, and I'm just throwing this in, this just came to my mind. You got to remember, you can't take it with you. You've heard the old saying that you've never seen anybody that's got a U-Haul behind the hearse. And someone else made the comment, I can't remember, I think it was, they asked somebody about Rockefeller, who was, you know, extremely rich, and they asked him, well, when he died, how much did he leave behind? And they made the statement, he left it all behind. So, putting our hope in earthly treasures just multiplies insecurities, because earthly treasures are temporary. And I gave somebody Ecclesiastes 5:12, so need them to read that at this point. So in other words, if you got a whole bunch, you're worried about it all the time. Worried about, you know, you might be worried about what the stock market's doing. You might be worried about, we talked about this last week, about thieves breaking in and stealing. And so that verse talks about the fact that the rich is, cannot sleep. You know, and he makes a statement, if what you treasure most is deposited in the bank and the bank fails, your heart will fail with it. In contrast, one who hopes in God will be devastated only if God fails. And I think we know the answer to that, that God never does fail. So number five is materialism ends in futility. Let's look at some of the evidence of that. Solomon was a great evidence of that. So we've got several verses in Ecclesiastes. I think I might have lumped them together. It was Ecclesiastes 2, verses 1, then verses 8 through 11. Does somebody have that for me? So Solomon, who had it all, and he said it was all vanity and vexation of spirit. So we see that, you know, if we let materialism consume us, it can end in futility. Those who love money will never have enough. Did I give somebody Ecclesiastes 5, 10, and 11? Okay, I guess maybe I didn't. But sorry if I didn't. Go ahead.
He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. For he that loveth abundance, this is also vain. When goods increase, they are increased from evil. What good is there to the elders thereof, saving the beholding of them with their eyes?
Okay, thank you. So then in contrast to materialism's emptiness, there is joyful liberty in Christ. If we hold tightly to the true God, this is a good statement. If we hold tightly to the true God, we loosen our grip on money, thereby loosening money's grip on us. 2 Corinthians 6:10, give anybody that? Go ahead. There you go. Paul's statement. Okay, materialism obscures many of life's greatest blessings. And as we know, and we know this, salvation is available to all and cannot be bought with God's, God's Son redeemed us, freely giving Himself to all who seek Him. Tim's got Revelation 22:17. Go ahead, Tim. Okay, so the water of life freely, all to come. God offers it to all of us. And we know that money can't buy salvation or rescue from judgment, but Proverbs 11:4 is going to tell us. Okay. Thank you. All right, moving on. So materialism spawns independence and self-sufficiency. And some of the statements or questions that come up. So, why trust God when all the bases are covered? Why pray when you have everything under control? Why ask God for your daily bread when you own the bakery? We pride ourselves on our financial independence, but where would we be without God, who gives us every breath? And we have to be careful that wealth doesn't insulate us from from discerning the true depth of our need. All right, number 8, materialism leads to pride. Let's see, I gave someone Psalm 52:7. Was that you, Alan? Oh, who has Psalm? Oh, you've got it. I'm sorry, Chuck. Go ahead. Oh, good. Okay, so, you know, that's what happens to mighty warriors who don't trust in God. And so let's look at some things that God does give us. Daniel 2:21. Somebody read that for me, please. So He gives us our intellect. He gives us our knowledge and our understanding. So Romans 12:6 says that He gives us what? Okay, so he gives us, he blesses us with our different abilities as believers. He gives us the different abilities that we possess that we need to use as servants for him. And then lastly, Deuteronomy 8:18. Okay, and I think we've read that verse earlier in the study that God is the one that gives us our capacity to earn money. He's the one that gives us that ability. So those are all God-given attributes. Then number 9 is materialism promotes injustice and exploitation. And I need someone to read Amos 5:11. Go ahead. Okay, and then go ahead and read Micah 6:12. Whoever has that, they kind of are tied together. That's probably why I gave it to you. Okay. So in other words, talking about injustice and exploitation, and I mean, this is kind of twofold. It talked about a couple different things, but I think we need to go back to the two. If we're chasing that carrot of materialism, we can easily fall into pattern of debt. And we talked about how the some versions of the Bible say that, you know, that the borrower is a slave to the lender. And so, of course, King James Version says that we're servants to the lender. But so you have that side of, you know, of slavery. And of course, you know, we know our country has a history of slaves. And, you know, it crossed many cultures, not only just the African American. I mean, Chinese and the Irish, so I don't want to just, but you know, that was you know, they exploited, you know, rich people exploited men. So, and then of course the example he gave in today's and is, you know, is the profit-based abortion business. You know, it's such a, you know, we just the killing and murdering of millions of babies a year. And, you know, it's lucrative for the abortionist, sadly. And sadly, it's advantageous to those who don't want to spend time and money to care for a child or fear it will jeopardize future plans. So, exploitation, need to be careful. And then lastly, the last fatal danger, materialism fosters immorality and deterioration of the family. And the example he used was King David. King David, who after getting everything, he didn't deny himself of one more possession. And that was another man's wife. So the biggest temptation for leaders, whether business, political, or spiritual, is thinking that they're the exception to the rule and that they're entitled to certain privileges that other people are not. So I guess in conclusion of that, this particular chapter and of this area says, a Christian can make millions of dollars a year and give generously and modestly to avoid much of the temptation. And and act immorally faced by most wealthy people. It's not how much money we make that grabs hold of our hearts. It's how much money we keep. All right, so let's move on into the next chapter, battling materialism in Christian families. And it's the responsibility of the parents to provide for the children. We talked a little bit about that. I just touched on that for just briefly for last week about, you know, the epidemic that we have in America, and I called it affluenza. And so I didn't give anybody 1 Timothy 5, 8, and 16, I don't think, but turn over to 1 Timothy. I'll be running you around a little bit in some of the verses now, but 1 Timothy 5, verses 8 and then 16. Verse 8 says that, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and then a helmet of salvation. Verse 16 says, I must not write, have that right. No, it wouldn't help if I'd get in the right place. Sorry. Verse 8 again in 1 Timothy, I was in Thessalonians. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. And verse 16 goes on to say, if any man and woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged that it may relieve them that are the widows indeed. So we have a responsibility to take care of our loved ones, of our children. And we talked about the epidemic of affluenza. And so, you know, and it's one thing to provide for our children, and it's another thing to smother them with possessions until they turn into self-centered materialists. Things we would appreciate in moderate amounts become unappealing in excess. You know, and it's just like the man who gorges himself at a banquet finds the thought of food repulsive. And the same, it goes the same, that one glutted with material things loses respect and regard for them. And we see that. You've all seen that in, you know, in our society and in folks around us. He goes on to state that children raised in this manner often fail to become productive members of society. And this is one of the key points he makes in this battling materialism in Christian families is there any substitute for a parent? And he goes on to say that every good financial perspective is or habit is developed best by the example of the parent. And children learn most effectively not only from what we say, but what we do. And sometimes our actions speak so loudly that our children can't hear a word we're saying. And that's would be the negative connotation. Our actions, you know, you've heard the saying, of course you all know it, that actions speak louder than words. And so that's kind of another way of saying it, that on the bad side of things, our actions will speak louder, so loud that our children can't hear a word we're saying. And did I give anybody Psalm 20 or Proverbs 22:6? You all know it. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. But let me read that just so I'm not speaking it out of context. Yep. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And Albert Schweitzer said, there's only three ways to train or to teach a child. Number one is by example. Number two, by example. And number three, by example. So, you know, and oftentimes giving gifts to children are a substitute for giving them your personal attention. Our children will not remember what we did for them nearly as much as what we did with them. And goes on to say that no man on his deathbed, we've heard this before, will never look back and wish he'd spent less time with his children. You know, and I kind of a personal story about that. You know, I thought one time we sat down with our kids and I asked them something about what was one of the most memorable things that we ever did, that we ever did together. And their answer to the question was something that I didn't even remember until they mentioned it, that we did it. You know, I'm thinking, oh, because we had a trampoline back in the day, and oh, it's when you jumped on the trampoline with us, or, you know, whatever, some trip that we took or something like that. But it wasn't that. It was some little thing that we did one night while Rowan and Shelley was with her cousins were there too, that we did with them that I had totally forgotten about until they mentioned it. So, I mean, that's just an evidence of, you know, they won't remember nearly as much what you give them as what you did with them. So, and then we need to talk about, we're not going to get through the last chapter today because we still got a little time, but I don't think we'll make it. But we need to be aware of what others teach. And you know, we see it all the time. If, you know, unless you're hiding under a rock, society has become much more aggressive in teaching our children not only about money and about wanting things, but also about sexual values. And so we need to be really, really cautious in that regard. All right. Well, I think we're kind of the next chapter, and I guess I'll give a little bit of preface to this. We're not going to have time to get into it totally. In fact, I thought about maybe skipping it. But the next chapter that he goes into is talking about prosperity theology. The title of it's Rethinking Prosperity Theology. Now, as I thought about that, and I don't know what you guys all think, but I guess in my mind when he said that, he was talking about health and wealth, the health and wealth gospel. And I guess when I thought about that first, I was thinking more about, you know, TV preachers and TV evangelists that, you know, give us all your money and you'll be blessed. The Lord will bless you and you'll be, you know, well, typically how it ends is they end up being really, really rich, jetting all over, you know, creation in their own private jet, and you're poor, you know, because, you know, they but that's not really where he went. I mean, I think that's part of it. And I struggled with it a little bit in how I was gonna, you know, what I was gonna share with you about it. And I even had Pastor. I even called him earlier this week. I said, hey, Pastor, would you go back and look at this chapter and give me, you know, some insight on how I should address this chapter of prosperity theology, excuse me. I'll just make this statement and we'll close with that, and then I'll let you fellowship. Health and wealth gospel teaches that the more money you give away, the wealthier you will become. Following God through giving and other forms of obedience becomes a formula for abundant provision and celebration of prosperous living. And he says, his statement is in essence, it is Christianized materialism. So anyway, we'll address that whenever we come back to it. That's going to be a couple of weeks because, as we stated, we're going to be traveling, so we'll be gone for the next two Sundays. So I'd venture guess you'll all come back together in this auditorium next Sunday. So anyway, I hope that's the 10 fatal dangers of materialism have been a help to you. So All right, thank you for your attention, and you're dismissed.